verse 9. This observance, this Passover, will be for you like a sign on your hand and reminder on your forehead that the law of the Lord is to be on your lips. For the Lord brought you out of Egypt with His mighty hand. So it is with communion. It was during the Passover meal that Jesus and His disciples were eating when Jesus took bread and broke it. And He said, "This is my body, do this in remembrance of me." It was after supper that He took the cup and said, drink each of you. Do this in remembrance of me. It was during Passover that He instituted communion. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 8 of chapter 13 of Exodus. On that day, tell your son, I do this because of what the Lord did for me. Just as Passover is to be response to what God had done, so communion is to response to what God has done for us in His kindness. It is a deliverance from tyranny, from oppression, as the Reformers called it, from sin and death and the devil. That is what, and they are far greater oppressors and enemies than any man or mortal will ever know. Communion does not redeem us. It is a reminder to us what we are saved from. Just as Passover for them was to be a reminder that they were delivered out of Egypt, so communion should remind us that we are delivered from the power and penalty of sin, and we no longer need to obey its evil desires, just as they no longer had to obey Pharaoh and the harsh taskmasters. They were now free to serve the living God. For you look back in Exodus 12, Pharaoh says to Moses and Aaron on the night of Passover, he says, up, leave Egypt, take everything with you, and go and worship the Lord, and bless me also. And that's what communion should also remind us of, that we are free to serve the living God. In Luke 1, if you don't want to turn there, you don't have to, but if you want to, Luke 1, 68-75. Zechariah the priest, John the Baptist's dad, prophesied when he heard about the Messiah. And he said, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because He has come and redeemed His people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David, as He said through His holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember His holy covenant, the oath He swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, that we might serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all our days." Just as Passover was a reminder to them that they were set free to serve the Lord, so we are set free to serve the Lord and are now no longer in bondage to our sins and to our past. It should be a reminder to us, just as it was to them, to teach our children of what God has done in our lives. There's no self-help book good enough that will ever break the bondage of your own wickedness, whatever lies in your own hearts. We are free to serve the true and living God, just as they were served, just as they were saved to serve the true and living God. This is just as Passover and the killing of the firstborn were to be signs and symbols for them. So communion should be for us. Two questions to consider. Question one. Why do you eat of this bread and drink of this cup? Why do you eat of this bread and drink of this cup? Two. What had you in bondage when God brought you out? What were you enslaved to? Look out. Look how far God has brought you. From what and who you used to be. Look how far God has brought you. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You must be born again if you wish to be free. Therefore, I urge you this morning, if you are not born of God, do not partake of this cup and of this bread. But if you are born of God this morning and you know Him and have believed in Him for salvation, God passed over you. That price was paid by Christ. Then again, examine yourselves and come forth and eat. It is not written to examine yourselves and not eat, but to examine yourselves and then come and eat. I do this because of what the Lord did for me. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's pray. And then we shall partake in communion. Our Lord God, we do thank you for today and for your Son, slain on our behalf and risen from the dead, that you set us free to serve you. And now, Lord, as we come before your table, we ask, Lord, that you would be with us. And for those, Lord, who are not clean, we ask, Lord, that you would make them clean. And Lord, set our hearts on pursuing you all the days of our lives in righteousness and holiness before you all our days. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello? Okay. Now this works. We have a time now that we can do communion and come before God. And when I was asked to do this to kind of prepare it, then I've always kind of had in my mind as well, like, why do we do communion all the time? And there's that naggingness in me that kind of says that if you keep on doing something over and over, that it might lose a lot of its meaning and become something that's more either ritualistic or just kind of like a human tradition sort of thing that we just always do, and you lose sight of what God wants for it and what it means. And one thing that came to me too was God says, just a little bit after when he's talking about communion and about breaking bread In 1 Colossians, sorry, it says, chapter 11, verse 28, says, everybody ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. And one thing that God kind of showed me is that it comes to a point where the early church, they did this all the time. It was a very regular thing when they'd all meet together, and then they'd always have communion. And when you have to do this, when you have to examine yourself, it's keeping a short account of how you deal with others and how you relate to others, how you treat others. If you've wronged somebody, it creates that short account that you have with everybody then too. And I find in my own life that if you don't do that kind of stuff, if you hold on to things forever, it can really give Satan a foothold and a way where he can kind of control you, and maybe some resentment or bitterness can be harbored in you. And if you don't deal with it, it's hard to kind of let God flush that through you if you don't go and get yourself right with the person. So I think that's one thing that he's shown me, where when you do this repeatedly, when you do it more on a regular basis, that it kind of forces you to examine yourself. And so we'll take a time now too, and you can just bow your heads and spend some time before God. And just see if there's anything that he brings to mind that you need to make right. So let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for who you are and for what you've done. Thank you, Jesus, for being willing to have your blood shed and have your body broken for us so that you can redeem us. You've seen such value in us that you would go this far, that your love has stretched that far. And we just thank you for who you are and for what you've done. And I just pray that you help us to be obedient to you and to right the wrongs that we've done to others. And I just praise you for who you are in Christ's name. So like Charles said, if you know Christ, this is a time where you're invited to come. And Adam and I will just be up front here with the elements, and you can come and partake whenever you feel ready to.
There we go. I'd love country music, but... Please stand with us as we close the service. I got to tell you, I really felt blessed this morning. I felt the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I sure did. Say amen if you did. Say it louder. There you go. There's power in the blood.
To be free from your burden of sin, there's power in the blood, a power in the blood. Could you believe all the things you're in? There's wonderful power in the blood. There's
benediction, it's coming out of 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. And have a wonderful week. God bless.